Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Our series is entitled Passing the Baton. We're focused on the influence of every believer. Last week we saw that we are all salt and light simply because God has given us His influence. He's made us light because He is light, and He's made us salt. We're not that independent of Him. This week I want us to see that I have influence because I am gifted. Each of us has influence because of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us. And we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians 12 as kind of our base, but there's a lot of different texts on spiritual gifts, and we'll be kind of using them as cross-references to look at as we go through this. And I want us to gain an understanding of our spiritual gifts and see how the Holy Spirit has worked in us and has provided us with grace and manifested Himself in us in the gifts that He gives to us. And we'll see today, we maximize our influence when we use our gifts to grow together. We want to make the most of our influence to impact the people around us, as we talked about last week. But we'll maximize that influence when we use our gifts to grow together. And Paul really spells this out in 1 Corinthians 12, and there's a lot of good teaching in the Bible about it. I'm looking forward to studying it together. He starts off and he's dealing with a church that has had a lot of problems. As he talks about later, some schisms, some disunity within the body. And he's working on the church that they would grow through some of their weaknesses, that they would confront some of their issues and work on them. And he challenges them. And the point isn't to say, well, you need to dissolve your failure as a church, you're done. But he's saying we need to grow as a church. You need to come together to accomplish what you're supposed to. And he starts to spell out in chapters 12 through 14, well, there's some problems with gifts in the body. And we won't deal with one of these issues, but he's saying, well, it seems like they're exalting one of those spiritual gifts to say, well, I have the gift of tongues, and maybe I'm better than you. And all of a sudden, the gifts are being used for disunity, and instead of growing together, it's become one of self-seeking, self-inflation, self-exaltation, rather than the exaltation and edification of the body. And Christ should be exalted, and the body should be edified, and not my own self. And yet, If those people who had tongues, they were the people worth following after. They were the people who might have been considered important. And Paul wants to dissolve any of that type of thinking. We're going to see that here in chapter 12 especially. And he does, coming to chapter 14, he helps them, since that was an apostolic gift that was used in the establishment of the church, and tongues were very active at that time. He spells out how do we use our tongues properly so that they're not getting out of hand, not just for self-exaltation and promotion. And, of course, that's not something we're needing to worry about in our church today, but we can learn principles from that. But we'll be looking especially at the background that he lays leading up to that, in which he spells out different spiritual gifts, the gifts that each one of us here has. Assuming that you placed your faith in Christ, God has given each one here a gift, or more, at least one. And the manifestation of His grace, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, it's His gift that He gives upon salvation that we would use. We have to grow in these gifts, and we use them for the body. And so the first thing we're going to need to do in order to use our gifts to grow together, we have to understand the role of gifts. Number one is understand the role of gifts. He starts off here, and he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Very direct, but he's He's saying, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be uneducated. I don't want you to be clueless about what's going on with spiritual gifts. I want you to understand what they are, what they're here for. So he's going to proceed with this section to help them to think about spiritual gifts. And some of your translations might say spiritual things. The word gifts isn't necessarily in there. If we wanted to just translate directly from the Greek, now concerning spirituals, and there's kind of an implicit verb or an implicit noun there, and spiritual things, but we can kind of lay the context from the next few chapters that he is speaking on gifts. So don't let that throw a curveball for you. But now concerning spiritual gifts, I want you to be understanding, not ignorant. I need you to understand. And he uses that kind of terminology actually several times, writing to Corinthians and other places. But he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be understanding. He says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Now he's referring to their past. They followed gods that were not really gods. They were given to idolatry. And we can look at, you don't have to turn there, but let me just describe these idols that they would have been following. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. That's his description of idols. Psalm 115, describing the futility of idols and worshiping gods that are unable to do anything. You can't worship that statue on your shelf. It's not going to accomplish anything for you. That's ridiculous. We wouldn't worship statues, but we would worship things. We would give priority, and as Russ was talking about in Sunday school, we'd replace God with other things, looking for meaning from them. And in a sense, worship things that aren't able to accomplish anything for us. Money can buy me things, but it can't accomplish anything for me ultimately. And that's his description of idols. And he's the description of idols from Psalms. And Paul says, you were carried away. You didn't even necessarily pursue it yourself. It was the drive of the world's influence. You were carried away to these dumb, meaning unable to speak, kind of tying in with the idea behind Psalm 115. They have mouths, but they can't even speak. But you're carried away to these idols who had no voice. However you're led, and he says, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, those people who are now professing Christ, who are now changed and transforming, that's all the work of the Holy Spirit. That's not a powerless God. That is a God who does have a voice, who is able to speak and see and hear and interact with us and accomplish things. That's a powerful God, as opposed to these powerless gods, these dumb idols, these speechless idols. And so he says, first of all, I want you to understand that's all the work of God. So that's humbling right there, because we have abilities. We have things that we're good at. And it's not even me. It's not my own ability. It's the power of God manifesting in my life. And that's humbling right there. If I understand that that's my place, it's not even me. In a sense, I'm the middleman. Now, let's just say maybe Marge comes up to me today and she says, well, I have a book. I bought you a book, but it's for your wife. So could you pass it along to her? She's given me a gift, but it's not for me. It's for me to take home and give to Diane. And I love books. They might be close to my idol, and I might take it on and put it on my shelf and enjoy it for myself and never let Diane know that Marge did anything. And I'd be missing the point entirely, because the gift wasn't given for me. It was given for her. I say that to put these spiritual gifts in context. God gives us all gifts, but those aren't mine. Those aren't to be used for me. There's no way I can even use those for me. They're not for my benefit. God gives me gifts so that I can give freely to others. If I take that to myself and try to use it for my own benefit, I've missed it entirely. But it's something to be passed along. 1 Peter 4 talks about spiritual gifts, and I'm just going to read one verse from there for now. We'll see it more later. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You want to be a good steward of God's grace? You use your gift for others. It's not given for me. We'll see this actually later here in 1 Corinthians 12. And I'm going to keep coming back to this verse because I think it's a key verse here. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, in other words, the revealing of the Spirit, the way the Spirit is revealing Himself in us by giving us that gift, is supposed to be evidence of the Holy Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Why? I think we can't miss that why. Is given to each one for the profit of all. The gifts I have, they're for the body, the church. They're for me to serve. They're for me to impact others. I'm given a gift to give to others, not to hoard for myself, not to put up, look what I have, but it's to pass along and to keep blessing others. And I get to be the middleman that I get to be used by God to pass along that gift over and over and over again as the Holy Spirit works in and through me. I'm going to take us to Ephesians, and you hold your place in 1 Corinthians 12 and turn to Ephesians with me. Ephesians has something to say about gifts as well, and Paul's going to show us here, kind of alongside 1 Corinthians 12, what is the purpose of gifts? What is the goal? What is the end result that we're striving for? And he says in verse 7, to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he's talking about the giving of gifts to us. And verses 11 through 16, I'm just going to summarize. 11 says he gave different offices to the church, and those offices are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. In other words, to, I think, develop the spiritual gifts in the body and to give them what they need to serve. And then here's the goal we see coming to the end of 12 and into 13, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why do we have gifts? For the edifying of the body of Christ. To build up one another. And to grow together. And what's our end result? And I think he's going to spell out here, maturity. He says later in 13, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. When we are fully mature, when we are like Christ, not just me. He's not talking about individual Christ-likeness here. He's talking about a church body that has grown into the image of Christ, that we, as a group, demonstrate who Jesus is fully. We've become fully like Christ, and that's something we'll keep working toward, but that's the end result we're striving for, that maturity. And here's what it looks like. We back up till verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So maturity, a church's Christ-likeness, is going to involve two things. Unity of faith and the knowledge of Jesus. Simple as that. When we are mature, I mean, say, oh, well, we're together as a group, right? And we know Jesus. Well, it's going to look like the deepest measure of that. And that's going to involve certain things that's spelled out in the rest of the Ephesians 4:11 through 16. He says that we should no longer be children. So again, growing that maturity, we wouldn't be children anymore, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Any of you outside on this last Friday? You get blown around a little bit at all? I think I read in the news there were 13 semis that day that got overturned by the wind across Iowa. Yeah. So especially northern Iowa, up to 60 miles an hour, I think. I watched a video, too, of just to see what it's like, and saw a semi just starting to turn and almost lose it, but come back down. And it's just amazing, the power of the wind to carry things all over the place and You see trees ripped out. Our windstorm we had last summer, all the branches everywhere and trees taken down. And some of you felt the personal effects of that and the power of the wind. And he says that you would no longer, that you would be planted firm, no longer tossed all over the place by the wind of every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness, that you wouldn't be influenced by the world. The world carries some strong and powerful influence. But if we want to maximize our influence, we're going to be solid in God's truth, solid in being together in that. And that's how we're going to maximize our influence. And you know what? That involves speaking the truth in love, that we grow up all things in Him who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, verse 16 of Ephesians 4, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, by what we all contribute together. As we come together, as we bring our gifts and grow together, that's how we keep growing into maturity. That will involve the unity of faith and the knowledge of Jesus. And that will maximize our influence. We have to understand, though, the role of our gifts, that it's not for me. It's for one another. Can't miss that. We also should, then, in order to maximize our influence and grow together, we need to recognize, you need to recognize your value. Recognize your value. And yes, that is going to impact your influence. Come back to 1 Corinthians 12. I'll pick up in verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. So there's all these, this diversity, all these differences within the body. And we're all got our different parts. But verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Each one for the profit of all. That manifestation of the Spirit is given to you, it's given to me, and our gifts all look different. We might have similar gifts. There might be a few people in here with the gift of mercy, people in here with the gift of teaching. And I don't want to break down all the gifts today. I think that's a worthy study, but not my purpose today. But each one of those gifts is valuable. And I've heard it said enough times, nobody has all the gifts, so we all need each other. And, and I'm not saying I do, but even if I had all the gifts, I can't use them for me. I still need you to serve for me, and I need to serve you. And so I still need you, and you still need me. We all need each other. And, of course, I still don't think anybody has any, maybe all the gifts, but we keep needing each other. Of course, we have to recognize my own value going into that. Romans 12 also speaks a lot about gifts, and Romans 12:3 gives a lot of perspective. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a member of faith. And he goes in to talk about that unity. For we, as we have many members in one body, but all the members don't have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So it's not about self-exaltation. I'm not supposed to think how great I am, but I should recognize that I have value. Each one of us should recognize you bring value in what you contribute to the body. You have value, and it's not in and of yourselves. It is that you have a God-given value that allows you to bring a contribution to the body and help us to grow together, to strive toward our goal of Christ-likeness. And you know what? It's not to be compared. It's not about, well, I only have the gift of mercy, but he has the gift of prophecy, and she has the gift of... Paul's trying to break that up. It's not about who has the better gift. It's not about who has the better gift. It's about that we are all the same. It's the same Spirit. It's the same Lord. It's the same God working in us. And we each have a manifestation of that in our own, and we each get a gift, and that should be humbling, not exalting. That's from God. And I have value, but it's not from me. But we can tend to start comparing verses 15 through 19. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I can start doing that. Well, I don't have, I'm not, I mean, man, she's good at talking to people. If I was just as good as her. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Now, we don't need 17 feet and no other parts. We need all the different parts together. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? You know what? We're each unique. We each have our part. We each have our gift, and we each have value. And as we speak, especially about influence, because we have gifts, I've said it before, but each one of you, you have influence in people's lives that I don't have, and that somebody else might not have. You might be the one person in our church, and maybe the one person who would be able to positively influence that person for the gospel, to show God's love and to impact their life. That's the uniqueness that God gives to each of us. And thank God that you're not the same as me. And I say that because I probably wouldn't get along with you if you were. But we each have value, and we each bring our uniqueness and our own contribution. Next, we need to depend on our church family. If we want to maximize our influence, to use our gifts to grow together, it has to involve dependence on one another. Depend on your church family. He goes right into that with the next several verses. But now indeed there are many, verses 20 through 26, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. I'm going to stop right there. And how many of us want to come and maybe we feel like, well, I'm here to serve today, and somebody tries to step into my life and come alongside of me, and I'm here to serve. I'm not going to take from you. I'm not going to take from you. I'm here to serve. We don't let people in. You might not be so blunt, but in a way we're saying, I have no need of you. I don't need you. I'm okay. And that's where the gospel breaks down everything, because we're not okay. And we need God, and we need one another, and we need to depend on one another. I can't say I have no need of you. He says, no, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. You might think that someone is weaker or less honorable, or I might think that. He says, no, that's a necessary part. And the members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. I'm going to skip down to 25, or 24. God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So I can come to you with my suffering and allow you to suffer with me, to carry me through that. And I can honor different people, knowing that we rejoice together in that honor. And we depend on each other, we need one another, and I can allow, we can allow each other to reach into our lives. We can come to each other with our needs. I think lately I've got everything I need on Google, and I can maybe just read an article and try to be okay. I can drive somewhere and take care of my needs myself. I don't have to depend on people the way I used to have to. And we start to go our own way, creating independence, and I don't want to bother anybody else, and we don't even realize how we isolate ourselves, and we can become just a group of, just a bunch of individuals together but no attachment, no organism that involves all of us like the church is supposed to be, but it's just, okay, we collected together and then we dispersed and we're still independent. But God calls us for a dependence on one another. I do have need for you. And you have something that is a manifestation of the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you and gifts from that Holy Spirit that you can minister to me, and I can allow you to do that. And the more I do that, I can grow in my influence because I can be teachable. I'm allowing you to help me grow. And, you know, by allowing you to serve me, you might be more prone to allow me to serve you. And we together, how does that break down walls when I won't share anything about my life, but suddenly I come to you with a problem and I say, hey, here's what I'm struggling with. Could you pray for me? And now you might be that much more prone to say, hey, I'm struggling with that too. Could you pray for me? Or, hey, pray for me about this struggle. And pretty soon we come closer together instead of farther apart. I'm not going to let you into my life. I have no need for you. And we might not even realize how at times we might be saying, I have no need of you. God's letting us know, I need you. I need you. You need other people in this body, and we all need each other. So depend on your church family, because 1 Corinthians 12:7 says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For the profit of all. And you know what? Joanne's gift might be for the profit of Mary sometime. And John's gift might be for my profit sometime. Marlene's gift might be for Louis' profit sometime. We're the profit of all, and we're going to profit one another through our gifts. Finally, wrap your gifts in love. Wrap your gifts in love. I've probably come into this out of verses 12 and 13, because this is kind of like the center core of the passage. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Doesn't matter, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free. We've all been made to drink into one Spirit. We're a body together. It's all because of the unity that we have. The whole, same Holy Spirit, same Lord, same God. But he comes out of 1 Corinthians 12 and moves into a chapter that we're very familiar with, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. When we use our gifts, we need to wrap it in love and demonstrate love to one another. And it's got to be all out of love. 1 Peter 4:7-10, he's talking about gifts. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It's got to be in love. Above all things, have fervent love for one another. If I'm serving my gift, if I'm trying to do my best, and I'm doing ministry, and helping people, but if I'm not doing it with love, just because I'm helping people doesn't mean it's coated with love. I can get off track quick. And 1 Corinthians 12:7 says the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all. And if I'm trying to profit myself, I missed it. But he says, 1 Corinthians 13:3. If I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. It's supposed to be for the profit of all. But if I'm trying to seek my own profit, there's going to be no profit. How can we serve but not be loving? Well, it's going to be spelled out in the rest of the love chapter. And if I can summarize it, if we're serving but not loving, it might look something like this. It might be self-seeking. Self-seeking, I'm trying to meet a need in my own life. It could be self-promoting. I could be trying to exalt myself, look good to you. It could be self-powered. I'm trying to do it myself in my own strength to serve you, and I'm not relying on God. And you can kind of study out the rest of 1 Corinthians 13 later. Banner's appropriate today. Love never fails, 1 Corinthians 13:8. If we wrap our gift in love, then it will accomplish the goal of that's involved in spiritual gifts, the edification of the body, that we'd strive toward maturity, that we would have a unity of faith and the knowledge of Jesus together. And that, my gifts, they have power, especially in my influence here, my own church, my own body. But as I do that, as I'm loving the body, Jesus says in John 13, he said 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And that love, as we love one another, that's going to be a huge demonstration for all around us, that we... it'll influence people without even trying, that we're just so wrapped up in that love, people will be like, whoa. But instead of being self-seeking, self-promoting, self-powered, I need to be self-sacrificing and show true love in the gifts that I give. As we close, I wanted to give a little visual reminder to you. I put my wife to work last night after a long day. These gifts are empty, so don't get don't be expecting something in there. But this is more of a symbol of the gifts that you have, that are God-given, that aren't for you. This is maybe a visual reminder you can set on your shelf. I'll let you guys pass the bag down and take one. That you can set on your shelf, set somewhere prominent, and remember, I got a gift, and God wants me to be passing my gift along. And there's not supposed to be something in the box, because it's about what's in me that I can serve others with, and it's wrapped in love. Can't forget that it has to be all done in love. When I serve one another, if I don't do it in love, it's going to be a noisy symbol. It's going to accomplish nothing. It's going to be for no profit. But when I wrap it all in love, that will carry more influence than I can even imagine. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this passage. Lord, that we could just even begin to pick it apart and see how much you want to use us. Not only for the world, Lord, but first of all for one another, that we would serve one another and love one another. And as we do that, Lord, something will spill forth from that. Just as we've been studying in the book of Outflow, that we'd overflow into one another, and from that we'd be overflowing into the world, and our love would be demonstrated for all to recognize that, what are they going to know about us, Lord, but that we're your disciples, that we follow Jesus, that that's what defines us. And Lord, that's our prayer. Lord, please use us. Please help us to love one another. And Lord, we want to strive to grow together, to together become more like Christ, and to become closer to one another as we strive to do so. And Lord, may that mean that we mature more and more in our unity, and mature more and more in what we how we know you intimately, our experience of you, and that we do that all in truth, not just blown about by the wind, Lord. We thank you for your word that guides our course, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit that manifests himself in us so that we can serve one another with our gifts and demonstrate it all with love. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.